The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness will not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. But they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed and in spirit and was deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. These readings seem to be very long, don't they? The last couple of weeks have been like super long, and so that's why I have you sit down, because otherwise some people will really fall asleep when they do sit down, and I start my sermon. So I figured, let them sit now. I was looking at this reading today and trying to figure out how to work with it. It felt like a drama to me. It felt like I was watching some kind of theatrical performance. And I thought there were three stages within this particular reading. You know, when you watch a theater or when you watch a movie, you see that there's chapter one, chapter two, and then it's chapter three, the final point. And I said to myself, there are like three movements here that I see. One of them is the movement of heartbreak. And it begins with Lazarus dying. It begins with Jesus saying to his disciples, let's stay another couple of days. He just fell asleep. And I'm wondering, why in the world would Jesus do this if he indeed knew that Lazarus was dying and would ultimately be dead? And then I said to myself, that must be the Gospel of John, the writer, who's trying to make it more dramatic. So that when the end comes, you know, sometimes you can see a movie and say, I know what's going to happen next, right? And so I say to myself, he's making it very dramatic so that when Jesus raises Lazarus, it's going to be like the big miracle. And indeed, if someone were dead for 4 days, it was a Jewish belief that the soul had left the body and the man was dead. Okay? He was not, you know, he was just dead. After 4 days, the spirit leaves the body and there's nothing left. And so there's a heartbreak. There's a sense of heaviness in this first chapter, if you will, of this reading of the Gospel of John. And so the sisters come. First, Mary comes and meets Jesus and she says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And you can almost hear a sense of disappointment, a sense of longing in her voice, maybe even a tinge of anger towards Jesus and frustration. And so Jesus says, well, he will be raised. And she immediately thinks that it's in the, you know, the final day. She almost quotes creedal, you know, creed. She says, I believe that he will be there. He will be raised on the last day when you come. Just like we do when we do our Nicene Creed, we kind of make it very robotic. And she kind of just blurted out. But he was meaning something very different. Jesus was talking about not something that's in the future, but something that's very immediate, something that is very practical, something that is right now going to happen. And so then he goes, and then of course we know that he went to the tomb. And when he went to the tomb, there were some people who were kind of doubtful, saying, you know, if he had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And so he was not like the favorite person. You know, in this particular event, people were looking at him and they were kind of frustrated that he didn't do anything. But then he did do something. He called out Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come out. And you know what? He came out. And that's a part of a miracle that Jesus was talking about when he spoke to Mary, saying that he will be raised again. And so this miracle that he speaks of, Lazarus, to come out, is something that is very, very revolutionary. And that's perhaps why in the later reading of the book that is not in today's text, the Jews and some of the people there became angry with Jesus because they said, he thinks he has the power of life and death. Only God has that. We need to take him out for that sort of thing. So that miracle that happens there, according to the book of John, it's not just a miracle, but it's a sign. A sign meaning that there's something happening, and it's not a thing in itself, an end in itself. See, a miracle, when you have a miracle, it's a wonderful act that God does that is and for itself. It's complete, and all you have to do is accept it. But in the Gospel of John, whenever John speaks of miracles, he's speaking about a sign, which means that there's a more profound implication involved in what's being done, what's being said. So what is this sign that Jesus is looking at, that John is describing that Jesus did? And I think it is something about the resurrection. Now, the resurrection is not just something that's going to happen in the future, which we all hope to be part of. It's something that's going to happen in the immediacy of the moment, which changes the whole context of this particular sign. And I tell you, what I find really interesting is that when Jesus heals Lazarus, immediately you see two signs of reaction to that sign. One of them is, of course, people are very elated, very happy, very, very full of joy that Lazarus has come out. But then there are others that don't like it. There are others that get upset. There are others that say, well, who is this man who did this? How can he even think that he has power over life and death? And so, you know, they're upset, which makes me think that a lot of times when people have something good happen to them and people watch, you're going to have two sides of reaction. People are going to be very happy that this happened to you. My God, you graduated. Congratulations. And other people said, well, he skipped through the classes. You know, his mother paid the bills and he was able to make it, you know. And that kind of back and forth, that always happens when something good happens to someone. But you know what happens is that Jesus turns around and after he raises Lazarus, you know what he does? He invites the community to take the stuff off his body, the clothing. He says, go take the clothing off and let him go. Let him go. That means that Jesus is inviting a community to finish the miracle, to finish the sign, to finish the work that he's beginning to do by releasing Lazarus from his tomb. Now, metaphorically, we live in tombs of our own. We can live in depression. We can live in poverty. We can live in narrowness. We can live in anger. We can live in a sense of unhealth. And so Jesus is telling Lazarus, come out of that tomb that you found yourself in and let the community help you live out that reality that you now have become. See, Jesus gives you the beginning. Jesus gives you the opportunity. He calls you out. But it's up to us, the community, to lift that person and allow them to continue to live that new being that they've become. One of the things that I've learned when I worked in the prison was that a lot, especially to the black community, a lot of young guys would want to go to school. And they start going to school and they start talking different. And they go back home and the brothers would say, hey man, you look like a cracker, man. You look like an Oreo guy. You know, you're talking that white stuff. You're one of us. I know who you are. Does that encourage the guy to continue? No, it doesn't encourage the guy to continue his education. He's too threatened by it. He doesn't feel honored and affirmed by it. How about a guy who comes out of prison? Let me tell you, sometimes the guys come out of prison, they look much better when they came in. Okay? Because they came in, they're strung out, they're thin, they're wiry, they're drugged up. But you put him in prison for a while, he'll start to eat meals that he missed. He starts to comb his hair. He starts to work out in the gym. He starts to look good. His skin starts to shine. He goes back outside, and his brothers say to him, hey, Harry, we haven't seen you in years, man. You're looking good, Harry. Look at you, man. You worked out, man. You're looking nice. Like, come on, let's do some celebration. Come on, let's hang out, and let's do some stuff we've been missing. And he says, you know what? Shirley's waiting for you, too. And he says, oh, boy. And he falls right back into the rut, right? And doesn't that happen with all of us sometimes when we want to try out a new way of being? We go to college, we get a job, we get a degree, we get a profession, we're forgiven, we feel better, we come out of our depression, we come out of whatever it is, we feel pretty good. And all we want is somebody to say, I see that, I celebrate that with you, I want to help you continue to be that way, I want to help you to stay out of that tomb. But no, the other side is the reality of what we face. And that is that people become eager, egotistical, and they become jealous and envious of you, and they attack you. And they say, that's not true. You're going to fall right back to where you came. I know you. I know the person you are, and you're going to go right back to where you came from. And that's part of our human nature. We spoke yesterday, one of the Bible studies we were doing, about Staudenfreuden. That's a German word that tries to describe if something terrible happens to a person, you say to yourself, "Woo! I'm glad it's not me." You ever see that? Something terrible happens to somebody, you say, oh my God, I'm glad it wasn't me. And so there's a certain joy that it wasn't you. A certain joy that it happened to them, not you. And that's a very psychologically deep reality. So in the same vein, I think that people, when they see somebody else get ahead in life or start to make movements and start to make success and so forth, people look at them and they kind of wish them bad. They wish them bad because they're jealous. These are real feelings. These are realities that we have in our mind and we have to keep up front, that we have to be aware that this is how we can be. And so Jesus invites the community, take off the strips from him. In other words, let the community of his body and his people lift each other up. When someone comes to church and they're trying to live a clean life, they're walking away from alcohol or drug addiction or some bizarre way of living, they come to church. Let us celebrate this person. Lift them up. The biggest thing that a person wants in their life is confirmation of who they're trying to be. I told you once before when I worked in the prison system. Sorry I keep mentioning the prison system, but it really is my life. Lots of years. I learned so much. I mean, I would have guys that were the most despicable kinds of people start acting different. Start trying to use words that are different. Read Bible or read something and try to act different. And I said, man, that's good. I appreciate what you're saying. I like what you're trying to do. I support you in what you're trying to do. I'm trying to help him become the person that he is trying to step into. And don't we all do it? After a depression, after a breakup, after being fired or lost of your job, don't we all want to try to do retirement? Don't we all try to find new feet to stand on, a new identity that we wear, a new energy we put out in the world, a new sense of value of who we are and what we can do? We don't want people to tell us, no, you're not that person. We know who you are. Just a retired person. You don't do anything. Just put your slippers on and sit in your rocking chair. Isn't that terrible? This is what we do to each other. Slightly, so ever delicately, without even using words. We can just look at each other and say these things. We can imply them in our energy towards them. We can be devastating. And we undo the work of God. We undo the work that God has called by calling Lazarus out of where he was and now giving him an opportunity to be a man before God, to be a woman before God. And it's up to us to lift that person up, to help them along the process. We do it with our children. You know, our children, really, for all of you who are parents, it's a journey to be a mom or dad. Our kids become different almost like every day. One day they're moody. One day they're very excited. The next day they're very exploratory. You know, they become different people all the time. And what do you do as a parent? You sustain them. You hold them. You embrace them. You encourage them to become until they find their way. This is what we do as people who love people. And that is what the gospel is inviting us to do with each other. If you see someone struggling to become something, help them along the way. This is what Jesus does for us. When he forgives us, he gives us an opportunity. The Old Testament says when God forgives your sins, he doesn't even remember them. You stand as a new person before God. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to know that your community is a place that you can try your roller skates? Or you can try your bicycle? Or you can try your new idea? Or you can try a new way of relating to people? Where else can you do that? You can't do that in the corporate world. The corporate world, you try to change up on them, they'll throw you out. They want you to be a certain place and a certain person. They want you to be a certain type of individual. That's why they'll hire you, and by God, you better stay that way. But in the church, we have freedom to try and find finally who we are so that we can speak authentically from our voice to another person and know, yes, I have finally found myself. People will spend their entire life and never find themselves. They will be seeming superficial actors in a world that prefers they be remain that way. The world will prefer you to remain an actor, never to be truthful, never to be honest, never to be authentic, because you're powerful when you are. You are a force when you stand up and speak from your own experience and your own power. And I think this is what the gospel, that today I think the gospel is about liberation. I mean, a tomb. He was dead. Dead. How many of you, us are dead? Dead. We've forgotten to dream. We've forgotten to create. We've forgotten to plan. We don't have any instincts anymore to do something new. We'd rather just do the same old thing every single day because we feel like we're not worth it anymore. That life somehow has passed us over and it's time just to cuddle up and die. Well, that's not what the gospel expects of you. And certainly that's not what Jesus is demanding of you. He's asking you to go and take those things off that person and set them free. Set them free to become what God wants them to be and ordains them to be. And he does the same with you. Because you know what? Lazarus did come out of the tomb. But there are a lot of people, I bet you, when Jesus says, Lazarus, come out of the tomb, they say, I ain't coming out. It's too cozy in here. I've been to the death already. I want to stay where I am. I don't want to have to be challenged. I don't want to have to step out in the light again. I don't want to have responsibilities. I'd rather be in the dark. I'd rather stay deep down in a place where nobody can challenge me. So the other thing, of course, is that this particular reading is a call to you. Come out. Come out from where you are hiding. Come out from where you are afraid. Come out from where you are in pain. Come out from where you feel that you cannot contribute to anything in life. Come out. That takes courage, but it takes faith. And today Jesus is saying, I'm going to call you. Do you remember Abraham? No, Adam. Remember in the beginning of the book of Genesis, Adam had eaten the apple and he's hiding. And you know God knows where he is. It's like God, you can't have, you know, God. So God says, Adam, where are you? And then, you know, Adam says, oh, here I am. He comes out of the bush, you know. God asks him, where are you? Because he wanted Adam to know where he was. He wanted Adam to know what darkness he had stepped into, what shame he had been living accustomed to. And he's calling him out. At least embrace where you are. At least know who you are, what you're doing. And at least take advantage of this invitation that God has given you. You see, life is an invitation. You can choose it to be so. Or you can live your life as a boring, dead, repetitive, unhappy function that you do because you have no other choice. Today, my friends, God is asking us to help each other out. In this community, helping each other out is finishing the work of God. It's fulfilling the sign that Jesus started. It's being able to lift each other from all walks of our lives, from all traditions, from all experiences, from all ideologies. Help us to find our feet. Help us to live our new life. Help us to celebrate together what God is giving us as a miracle of life and a new opportunity to be all that God wants us to be and can be. He's inviting you to come out, but to come out to something that says yes. And we, the people of God, are the yes. Amen.